Open season is here, and now is the time for you to do your homework. You have until December 12th to educate yourself about your healthcare options and then decide if it's time to make a change.
For advice, insight, and analysis, we turn to three experts in the open season arena. Colleen Murphy is an executive with Plan Smart Choice, which is an ADP product. Walton Francis is the editor of the Checkbook Guide to Health Plans for Federal Employees. And Mike Causey, Federal News Radio senior correspondent. Good morning to you all, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And we want to start off first with Mike Causey, who is sitting right next to me, so we'll just go around the room here, about open season. And I know that everybody probably pretty much knows what open season is, but there may be some new feds out there who've never done this before. We'll start with you and just go around the room explaining the concept behind open season and what maybe new feds might not know but should know.
Okay, well, this is sort of two and a half men here. I'm the half expert. Walton and Colleen are the pros in this. But as Walton has said, this is probably the dullest open season we've had maybe in 30 years. And that is a good thing, because what it means is that premiums in most cases are not going up very much, and some plans are dropping them slightly. The benefits changes are minimal. Haven't seen them yet, but we've heard that they're minimal. And so this is one where people can really concentrate on what's the best plan for them. And it's different for everybody. It doesn't pay, I don't think, to ride in a carpool and say, what have you got and what have you got? Because your family situation is different. Your marital status is different. Your health is different. So, and this is where the experts come in. So that I've about exhausted the extent of my knowledge on this.
And Walton Francis, you're the editor of the Checkbook Guide to Health Plans for Federal Employees. What is it that feds need to know that they don't know particularly this year?
There are a lot of things they don't know. They mostly don't know what the alternatives are to the plan they're in, because if they're lazy and they sit on their couch and don't pay any attention, they will not have any idea there's ways to save thousands of dollars by being somewhere else. One general point about open season for the newbies in town, which is it's very important to remember you can join any plan without any regard to pre-existing conditions or any. There's no constraints. The open season wouldn't make sense if that weren't the case. So you have a free choice in the D.C. area for everybody, about 24 plans, for a few extra plans for those that happen to be in intelligence or foreign affairs communities. So you got a couple of dozen choices, and this is your chance to take a look.
And Colleen Murphy, who is an executive with Plan Smart Choice, an ADP product, let's talk about, from your perspective, what is it that they need to know that they don't know yet?
Well, to your point, even though premiums on average increased only about 3%, in reality, premiums don't make a difference. It's about what your total health care costs are, and those are driven by your out-of-pocket expenses as well as your annual premium. And in reality, those can vary considerably across. We're in Washington, D.C. today, around the more than 20 medical plan options that the average federal employee has. And, you know, for a single person, that total cost may range from something like $2,000 to $5,000 for the year. And for a family member, it may, from a family coverage perspective, it might be from $3,000 to $9,000, depending on which medical plan you choose. So for the newbie, Amy, that you're speaking to, just realize, fortunately, federal employees have a credible choice, and there are tools to help them make an informed choice.
And Colleen, we'll start with you on this next question. Is this business of federal employees' health care, is this something that companies generally find a desirable, profitable, worthwhile business?
Absolutely. There are more than 200 medical plan options offered around the country. Federal employees live in every nook and cranny. And there are probably 70 health insurance carriers that provide service to federal employees. So absolutely, yes.
And Walt, what's your take on that? I mean, you write the book on it. So.
Well, I mean, obviously, the companies aren't in it for fun or pleasure. They're in it to make money. But it's a competitive program. The beauty of it is they have to compete. They are always under constraints. If they try to maximize profits, that means their premiums go up too high and they lose customers. So they're trying to maximize benefits, service, and keeping premiums down all at the same time. And each company strikes a slightly different balance, which is greatly the advantage of the customers, because federal employees get to pick and choose the plan that fits them best.
Well, also, too, the federal program, I think it's like the Henny Youngman line, but how's your wife compared to what? And when you look at the federal health program, you got 22 choices in the Washington area. The wide variety of things. The average private sector employee, I think 50% have no health insurance at all or no company-sponsored health insurance. Of those that do, many of them have only one or two choices. It's take it or leave it. And often in a small company, it is literally tailored to the boss's family's health needs. I've seen that again and again. So this federal program, compared to everything else, is just absolutely wonderful.
Now, each of you have brought up different points in your answers, and I'm going to be expanding on all of them because there's no way there's too much information out there for feds to explore when it comes to something as critical as health care. And Walton Francis of the Checkbook Guide to Health Plans for Federal Employees, you had mentioned that sometimes folks are just lazy, and inertia is an amazing thing when you don't actually get moving and get motivated. Why is it so hard to get motivated to do something that is so critical?
I think it's one of those things like having a root canal that actually it's not that painful.
Oh, no.
It's boring. It's deadly. Can you imagine looking at that 100-page health plan brochure? Your eyes glaze over before you've opened the cover. So part of it is just it's work of an uninteresting kind. But if you think about it, your family's health is not really uninteresting. It's right. Awfully important. It's not that hard to pick up a health plan brochure and look at the page that says, here's how we change this here. Oh, they don't cover my problem anymore. Or, look, there's a new hearing aid benefit that I need, People don't look, don't pay attention, and open season, they have their turkey on Thanksgiving and...
Well, I wanted to ask, it does happen during the holidays. That doesn't make it any easier.
No. But it isn't really hard if you just sit down and spend an hour or less.
On average, Plan Smart Choice users spend about 15 minutes on our site selecting a health plan. And we've actually had, I'm going to give federal employees more credit. We've had more than 20,000 federal employees use the tools just this week. And it's, many of them are going to wait until the last day because we're procrastinators. But it's really about, I think, making the decision making as interactive as possible, making it as personalized as possible, so that I'm considering only my usage of medical services, and making it also for those who have used tools before to come back and be able to get to the results as quickly as possible. So the more interactive, I think the more return users, at least we're finding, in our tool set.
Yeah, I think there's another thing at play here too. My mother was a federal worker and one of the smartest people I've ever known, but she did not like to think about unpleasant things. And it took me forever to get her to use seat belts. And I think it's much the same with health insurance plans. You don't want to think ahead. The number one thing, as Walton has often said, the number one thing you think about with health insurance is catastrophic coverage. What if the big bomb is dropped on you, a major accident, a horrible disease? It's could potentially bankrupt you. And a lot of people don't like to think about that. So I think they do nothing.
Well, and I think that gets to federal employees who are concerned about their financial security. I also think in this economy, we have more and more people who are living sort of paycheck to paycheck. Now, granted, federal employees tend to make pretty good salaries, so maybe there are a few of them. But when you're living paycheck to paycheck, even a moderate 3% increase in your healthcare premium can make a big difference in your weekly take-home pay. So I think that's why more and more federal employees are looking to resources to help them.
Picking up on that, there's a federal pay freeze, obviously, as all our listeners know, but just because you're not getting a regular cost of living increase doesn't mean you can't make a lot more money next year simply by choosing a less expensive health plan. And again, picking up what Colleen said, when people go on the checkbooks tool, spend 5 or 10 minutes and we right away, show them, here's how much you could save by being in plan A versus plan B in dollar terms. And when it's $500 or $1,000 or $2,000, that's like, hey, it's a free pay increase.
That's exactly right. We got many comments back last year about employees who switched and saved themselves $2,000 per year. And that's just in premium and, in terms of premium and out-of-pocket expense. That's not about getting involved in the flexible spending account where they can save even more money. And I know something that's something, Mike, you're very passionate about.
Well, I John Elliott and Walt Francis informed me of this, and I'm still not quite sure I'm ready to take that great leap of faith. But apparently for get a high deductible plan and one with a health savings account, Walton says in some cases you can have the insurance company pay for your premiums,
You can end the year with more money than you started.
Yeah.
More money in your savings account than you laid out for the premium cost. Absolutely. Taking into account the tax sheltering.
Tax savings.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I wanted to plug your book, too, the Checkbook Guide. A lot of federal agencies, a huge number, have subscribed to it for their people, and they can get it online at work, go to the HR people, you know, get the URLs and all that sort of thing. But that means not only do you get it free at work, but they're allowing you to do your health insurance hunting on company time, if you will, on government time.
Sure. And or you can take it home, or take it. You don't have to take it. Just, you know, go online at home and do it there.
Things that feds need to keep in mind as they review their options for the health care plans during open season, does it really strictly depend on your own personal experience, or are there other factors that they need to keep in mind that maybe we wouldn't have considered?
Actually, the problem is it's the things you have to consider that you don't know about that are the problem.
What do you mean?
Everyone probably knows what pills they're taking next year for whatever their ordinary ailment is, but you don't know if you're going to get cancer or have a heart attack or a stroke or any of 101 different terrible things that happen to you or any member of your family. You're buying an insurance product. That's what health insurance is all about, like car insurance, house insurance, so on. And what we try to do, Checkbook, in comparing plans, is take into account the insurance value of the plans beyond – there's two – as Colleen said earlier, there's two pieces to this, the premium and the out-of-pocket costs. And you don't know what they're going to be. So we model plans for good years, average years, and bad years. In the worst case, you're going to hit what the plans call the catastrophic limit, the most you can pay out-of-pocket. Those vary considerably from plan to plan, and they're not always as easy to, you know, the plan may say, we guarantee your expenses won't be more than $6,000 next year, but there's a little footnote that says, but take a look at page 311 of the brochure, and you might spot an exception or two. Uh-huh. The exception might be, oh, prescription drugs, it's another $6,000. So you really have to be fairly careful and prudent in thinking about what does the plan actually cover.
Yeah. And Colleen Murphy with Plan Smart Choice. And plus, you're out in the Midwest, right? You're in Chicago. So is it any different there?
Well, things do vary across the country in terms of the number of options that federal employees have. On average, it's about 20. But, you know, when you're living in Washington, D.C. versus if you're in, you know, a rural part of the country, the number of options do vary. I would say that there are three things that federal employees should consider. As Walt says, number one, what is my family going to need in terms of medical services for the year? Take a look at what you did last year. And, you know, in reality, our medical cost calculator, federal employees actually model on average three different scenarios. You know, maybe my spouse or partner is going to have that outpatient surgery, maybe not. Maybe I can switch from a brand prescription drug to a generic. So play with different models and then learn what your total costs are going to be for those, all of your options. The second item to consider is your relationship with your physician. If that relationship is important to you, you want to, first of all, make sure your physician is part of the network, but you can never guarantee that for sure. Talk to your physician's office. Make sure he or she is part of the network for the plan that you're considering. And think about having access to out-of-network coverage, because there's never any guarantee that your physician is going to stay part of that plan during the course of the year. And then the third item that we've learned that federal employees are really concerned with is satisfaction scores. Every year, the Office of Personnel Management surveys federal employees about their satisfaction with their health plans. And it's actually it's the third most important feature of a health plan that we've learned that federal employees consider when making a choice. So they look to their peers and say, well, how satisfied are you with this particular option? So it really depends on what's important to you. But again, I would say my need for medical services, secondly, my relationship with my provider, and third, those satisfaction scores. Okay.
You know, another thing. I'm sorry.
I was going to ask you to jump in because you have quite a following, and they email you.
Well, I hear from people, and many of them are satisfied with the plans.
And you're Mike Causey, Federal News Radio senior correspondent.
I haven't changed. The one thing that I would say, the average federal worker has been in the government for about 17.8 years. You know, we love precise statistics here. And when you think about how the world has changed in the last 17 years, if you went into a health plan back in the day, maybe it was a fee-for-service like Blue Cross or Samba or one of those. Maybe it was an HMO like Aetna. They have changed dramatically over the years, and they've gotten more alike. Fee-for-service are more like HMOs. HMOs are more like fee-for-service. So you need to consider that, and there are people who would not have taken a health maintenance organization back in the day because it was too confining. They may find now that their doctor is one of the preferred providers and is part of it. And so that's important. And also, and Amy, we were talking during the break about some of these health plans are specialized, and the names are tricky. Samba is not a dance. It stands for Special Agents Mutual Benefit Association. But that used to be for FBI, DEA, and whatnot. Now it's open to everybody, and for some people it's a very good plan. The American Postal Workers Union, APWU, very good plan. Mail handlers, very good plan. NALC, National Association of Letter Carriers, all very good plans, and they are not limited to people who are in the Postal Service. You can pay a small fee and join those too. So you need, your options are, there are a tremendous number of options out there.
What do you look for? What are the markers and signposts that tell you this plan might be okay for you if something really bad happens?
Well, let me first say there are shortcuts, like using Checkbook's guide online to sort of, we'll point you to things like, here's a big column, and we put, you know, red letters in some places if the catastrophic benefit isn't very good.
We accept shameless plugs. That's fine.
Yeah, no, sure. But that's the whole point, you see, of online help. And, you know, both PlanSmart Choice and Checkbook are really trying to make it easy to zero in and find what you need to find. That said, there is that 100-page brochure out there. There's a lot of small print. All the plans have good benefits. All of them have comprehensive benefits, but there may be particular things of importance to you. And the only way to find out is probably to look at least one brochure, the plan you're in, to make sure you still have the coverage you need, and maybe a couple of others. One of the neat things about the FEHVP is that OPM requires the plans to use a fairly standard format for their brochures. So let's say you're going to have a baby next year. You can turn to the page on maternity coverage. There's a separate page for that in every brochure. The brochures themselves are online, so it's very easy to kind of, you know, whip into them, type the word maternity. You'll get to the right page real fast, and you'll be amazed because, for example, taking that example, most of the plans offer a better deal for maternity than for regular hospitalizations and illnesses, okay? Typically, you pay nothing, but not necessarily, okay? So that's one example. Hearing aids, fairly new in this program. You can go into the brochure, type the word search for hearing, and you'll find that quickly, or you can look at Checkbook's guide, and you can see, you know, we actually compare them directly because there's a big variation in what they cover. As for the catastrophic, where we started, there is a summary page at the just about at the end of every brochure that says, here's our catastrophic guarantee, and it almost always has this little footnote. Some things don't count towards this. And again, there's a section in the brochure up near the front, what we pay for, which actually will list the exceptions, some of which are fairly appalling in some plans.
Like you get hurt.
Well, the common one is prescription drugs. All that said, you still have to pay attention to your particular health needs. For example, your drug may be preferred on the formulary of one plan, but not on the other. The plans all have online, you know, web pages to show you what their formularies are, who the participating physicians are, so you can check those. So, you know, if you don't have a computer, you're really handicapped at all this.
Well, I think Walt references someone we would call the medically needy individual. If you've got a very specific medical condition, and, you know, we're out there doing health fairs right now, and often the people who stop by the table are asking specific conditions. You know, my child was just diagnosed with asthma, or my husband has a back issue, or, you know, something more serious. And really, to Walt's point, you want to take a look at the out-of-pocket maximums and do a side-by-side comparison of the plan you're in versus against the plan that you're considering, okay? I think it's also a really good idea if you've got a specific medical need in your family to actually speak to the health plan, especially if you're thinking about making a change. The brochure can be very, very helpful, but really get on the line. If it's something that's that important to you and your family, don't be afraid to call the customer service line and really make sure that they've explained it to you so that you've got an opportunity to talk to a live person.
I know some people, too, can't live without their particular doctor or set of doctors. And one thing that's very useful is to take the health plan and go into the doctor's office and ask somebody in there, probably won't be the physician himself or herself, but whoever you write your check to, whoever processes your credit card, and say, are you going to have this health plan next year? Are you going to be in this in 2012? And that's very important for people. On the other hand, Walter Francis stresses, and I think he's right, getting your doctor exclusively is not the reason for getting in or out of a health plan. Sometimes you want to pay the extra money if your doctor's not in the network. But check it out, because if they are, it makes life much better.
And Mike, that gets to the making sure that your plan has out-of-network coverage for anyone, and we would call that person provider picky. If your provider relationship is that important to you, make sure that the plan you're enrolling in has out-of-network coverage. There are plans, for example, many of the HMOs do not have out-of-network coverage. So you would have to pay, 100% of the cost if you wanted to see that physician and he or she was not part of your network. So just be thinking about that when, especially if you're thinking about making a change in health plans.
One other angle on all this is, let's say you have some exotic problem. You need a particular kind of therapy that's very specialized. And, you may not, one way to find out what plan's covered is to ask the therapist or ask the provider. Or your drug, you're not sure if your drug is a preferred drug in formularies, go to your pharmacist and ask. Again, you may not want to ask the provider. You may want to ask the people who, collect the check, so to speak. But they will probably know, plan A covers this drug better than plan B. So, or at the provider level, plan A covers my services better than plan B. So there are a lot of angles depending on your particular medical problems as to finding out what plans are likely to be best for you.
And just a quick follow-up on the idea of out-of-network. What if you are away on, say, government business and you get injured or fall sick, and in some emergency you are taken to an out-of-network provider? What happens then if you have a plan that doesn't cover that?
All plans cover you 100%, essentially, in an emergency, anywhere in the world, actually, even the HMOs. So, if you get hit by a truck in Timbuktu, Idaho, you're okay.
You're not. Well, first, you're in Timbuktu, Idaho.
Well, that's right. You're not okay in that respect. But for any routine care, and this is where, for example, suppose you're a snowbird and you spend part of the winter in Florida or something, if you need, to see your specialist once a week, you better not be in a plan that doesn't give you out-of-network coverage.
Our senior correspondent, and I just wanted to do this as a point of clarification. The difference between long-term care open season and open season for your general health care plan, two different things, correct?
Two different things and two different products as well. My mother was a federal worker and a federal retiree, healthy as a horse all her life, and in the last 3 years she developed Alzheimer's or dementia. And, total life change. Fortunately for her and for me, the son, she had long-term care insurance. And it picks up where health insurance leaves off. And it picks up where Social Security and Medicare leave off. So they're two totally different products. The open season for the long-term care insurance is over. And that's when you could get it at a minimal underwriting. But you can still get long-term care insurance. And I strongly recommend that anybody out there, I don't care what your age is, consider long-term care insurance. You don't have to buy the government plan, but look at it. There are relatively few companies now that still offer it, because it's very expensive to the insurance companies. But it is very different, and it's something that you should look at in addition to health care.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that point for our audience, just so people would know the difference of what we're talking about. And there's something else that's a little bit confusing for me, but I think I've got it now, and that is the flexible spending account, the FSAs. Let's go to Colleen Murphy with Plan Smart Choice and then go around the room about the plans for FSAs and what feds should know about that. And is that in addition to, above and beyond? What does that mean exactly?
A flexible spending account is part of FSA feds, and there's various components to it. There is a healthcare spending account where you can set aside money that you would spend out of pocket on a pre-tax basis and pay for those out of pocket services in that account. There is also a dependent care account. So if you have a child or a dependent adult, using some sort of daycare services, you can pay for those on an out, pre-tax basis as well. And the flexible spending accounts apply to what I consider traditional plans, your fee-for-service, your HMO, your PPO, consumer-directed plans. If you happen to enroll in a high-deductible plan, you would be able to participate, as Mike mentioned earlier, in a health savings account. And the reality is, the healthcare spending account and the health savings account are two distinct things. They're dependent on which type of plan you enroll in, and they have different rules, which can be confusing even for those of us who are experts in this business. Okay?
The important thing I want to emphasize, flexible spending accounts are really for almost everybody who's not in a high deductible plan.
That is correct.
But only about 15 or 20% of federal employees take them, and they're just leaving money on the table. Point A. Point B, flexible spending accounts are use or lose money. You set it up during open season, by the way. You only have, you know, till December 12th.
Oh, you can only do that during open season.
Oh, yeah.
That's correct. Yes.
And you set it, it's to cover your sort of known expenses that you'll have to pay out of pocket for the coming year. For example, the copays for your doctor visits or copays for prescription drugs.
But how do you know?
Well, you don't know, so you don't set it up for, except for, you set it up to cover the things you're really quite sure, because it's use or lose money, and if you don't spend it by the end of the next year, and there's a couple of months grace period beyond that, it will just, poof, go away. But basically, for a typical federal employee, it's something close to a one-third discount over your out-of-pocket spending. But here's the consumer-driven plans and the high-deductible plans have these other kinds of accounts, including in particular the health savings account. That money doesn't go poof. It's not use or lose. It can grow over a period of years. You can have it for the rest of your life.
That's why it's a savings account.
Yeah, it's your money, and it's also tax-sheltered, and it's tax-sheltered going in, and it's tax-sheltered going out for health care. So people who aren't looking at high-deductible plans as an option are missing a bet.
Well, a flexible spending account, too, would be available for dental work that's not covered by your health plans. Most health plans don't have very good dental coverage. But so if you have regular cleanings or things like that, that could be used for that. And as Walt says, it's the third off.
So if you choose not to participate in the dental or vision plans, both of those programs are optional. And, Amy, to your point, I recommend that people use a medical cost calculator to help them estimate, again, what your services are going to be for the year. Those calculators, Plan Smart Choice has one, as well as many of the health plan sites, and the consumer checkbook. It will help you estimate what your out-of-pocket expenses are so that you know the right amount of money to set aside in the healthcare spending account. Just so that you know, Walt said about 20% of the federal employees participated in the FSA. About 40% of Plan Smart Choice users did so. They set aside on average about $2,000 and as a result saved themselves about $600 in medical care costs by participating in that program. And they essentially reduced their total health care spend by about 15%, which is pretty significant. So.
And I also wanted to ask, too, just regardless of what the types of set-aside plans you might have, why does someone go into a high-deductible account? Is it because you're really healthy or because you can afford what might happen? Why do people choose those?
all kinds of reasons. But one way to think about it is there's sort of a spectrum of people who some people want to actively manage their health care. They want to be a very engaged, you know, I'm going to think about whether I want to spend this, that, or the other. There's another set of people who'd rather spend as little time as possible thinking about it. That latter group is probably your good people candidates for an HMO, where the plan picks the physicians in, you know, and where you have minimal copays and it's kind of very cut and dried, minimal hassle. Okay. In a high deductible plan, you are making an explicit choice that you are going to be a prudent shopper. You're going to get your free physical. All these plans give you a free physical and, you know, your regular vaccines and so on. But you're going to get a savings account, which if you don't have high expenses, can grow and accumulate over time. And, if you have to spend up through the savings account, you then hit a high deductible where you pay everything out of pocket for $1,000 or $2,000, and then regular health insurance kicks in. They all have great catastrophic coverage, and they all have low premiums.
We are speaking with Colleen Murphy, an executive with Plan Smart Choice, Walton Francis, editor of the Checkbook Guide to Health Plans for Federal Employees, Mike Causey, Federal News Radio's own senior correspondent. This is a Federal News Radio discussion. We have advice for you for open season, and boy, is there a lot to learn. I'm Amy Morris, along with Tom Temin, and we'll be right back.
And people say that they weigh in, and there's a place to check off if you're satisfied with a plan. Surveys are done. I'd like to know what makes a satisfying plan. And Colleen Murphy, why don't we start with you?
Well, the survey that OPM does every year, every other year, asks members in a particular plan if they are overall satisfied with the plan. So that's a sort of very broad definition. And then drills down into things like how well does the plan pay claims? Okay, so some very administrative issues. How well do the providers communicate? And that could mean something very different for you, Tom, than it does for me. How quickly can I get access to medical care if I need it? So it it drills down into various components. And again, the interesting thing with the federal population is that these are actually some of the things that really drive medical plan choice. I might have had a nightmare experience with a health plan, so I'm going to think about switching plans. It's one of the things that actually drives a federal employee to think about switching plans, which is what we were just speaking about.
And so, Walt Francis, bottom line advice?
The main advice is that you actually spend half an hour thinking about, number one, your health situation and that of your other family members. Number two, how well is the plan you're in likely to fit next year, given your health concerns? And number three, are there some other options around? And it's so easy. Colleen's website, the Checkbook website, OPM has a marvelous website. All of them give you things like access to the brochures online. You can compare plans side by side, okay, for particular benefits of interest, all benefits that they cover. Lots of simple, easy-to-use tools and reminders there. So it's really a matter of just spending a little bit of time thinking about the way to get that pay raise that the federal government didn't give you directly but gives you indirectly, because you could pick a less costly health plan next year.
And I'll just ask you, people spend, hours buying a flat screen TV. You know, in the long term, what's more important to you? And frankly, what's more financially more important to you and your family? You know, as Walt says, take 15 to use any one of these tool sets to make that choice. Okay.
Well, the TV, of course, is more important. one thing I would say is don't focus on premiums alone.
Correct.
And Walt's book makes a good point of that. If you have a catastrophic year, you're going to have a lot more out-of-pocket costs in addition to premiums.
And last question for Walt Francis in just a couple of seconds we have left. Basically, in your opinion, having looked at this for so many years, and Colleen, you can weigh in too, and we'll tell you when we're out of time, federal employees basically have some really great choices, probably better on average than the average population.
Oh, by far. This is really quite a unique program. There are very few private employers that offer anything remotely like this choice of plans. This is a case where you could actually get to pick the product that fits you. Can you imagine if the government only let you buy one brand of car or something? That's okay. Pick your own health plan.
Well, and one of the things we talked about is different carriers offer different products. So if you're a very happy Aetna or Blue Cross Blue Shield or APWU, there are multiple products offered by many of these carriers. So if one product doesn't work for you, but you're very happy with that particular carrier, oftentimes you can switch to a plan that better fits your personal and financial needs.
And we are out of time. Great advice. We have been speaking with Colleen Murphy, an executive with Plan Smart Choice, which is an ADP product, Walton Francis, editor of the Checkbook Guide to Health Plans for Federal Employees, and Mike Causey is Federal News Radio's senior correspondent. This has been a Federal News Radio discussion, advice for open season.